Welcome back once again to Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan, as I continue Season 3, Episode 1, which I have entitled, Grief Won't Last Forever. You can check out the first part of this episode, as well as episodes from the previous two seasons, and you can do that at the podcast website or on various podcast platforms like the one you may be listening on now. And if you would like to find more episodes, again, they're all there for free. And if you aren't sure how to find them, just search for Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan, and you will find them there. I'm going to be continuing talking about grief, and again, I hope you'll check out the first part of this episode, because I talk about my story of grief that happened recently, and I started to share with you the story of Jesus and Lazarus, and I'm going to continue that now, and we are going to be looking at the next set of verses. And so the story of Jesus and Lazarus can be found in the Gospel of John, John 11, verse 1 through 44. And yes, I'm reading all 44 verses, but I'm kind of breaking them up as I go along, and we'll analyze them and look at what God's Word says and then try and apply them to the situation. So like I said, I just want to get right back into it and continue on. So now I'm going to read John 11. I'm going to start with verse 5 and read all the way through verse 16. So I read in the English Standard Version or the ESV. I hope you will join me in whatever version that you have. Again, John 11 and starting in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now there's a lot to unpack in this set of verses right here. And the first one, I think, is we are not to be afraid or ashamed to walk with Christ. I want to go back and read verse 9 to you. And here's what it says. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." Those of us who know Christ can see the light of this world. So we are not to be afraid to put our faith on display, to share Christ with others. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was not. The disciples are going, "Jesus, they just tried to kill you, and you know they don't really like you there. Why are you going back?" And it's one of those where he doesn't say it in so many words, but it's one of those where Jesus is going, "Because I'm not ashamed, and those who walk in the light have no need to fear." Wow. How powerful is that? Now, here's another point, and again, I'm trying not to get into any deep theological discussions, but I want to try and explain this because I think it is important for us to understand. Also in these set of verses, it talks about how Lazarus was asleep, and then it mentions he died. Now, here's something that I'm going to try and explain the best that I can, but let me real quick pull up for you Hebrews 9:27, and here's what it says, Hebrews 9:27, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." So we die once. Now that's very important, and here is why. This is my opinion, and this is what I believe. Now Jesus did not contradict himself. I believe that Lazarus's spirit was asleep, and I don't believe his spirit went to heaven. Now, from a medical standpoint, he was medically dead. So his body was physically dead, but the spirit of Lazarus was asleep. Because if he died and went to heaven, I believe this takes away from what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross, it says Jesus gave up his spirit. He died both spiritually and physically like most of us will do. From a theological standpoint, again, this doesn't necessarily matter. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, it's still an amazing miracle. But I think it's important to understand just what the miracle was. It's not that his spirit was awakened. It's that his physical body, which had been dead for more than 4 days, which we'll see here in just a few moments, came alive again. We are the spirits that are in us. We just occupy our earthly bodies. So here's the thing. Let me use my friend Zach as an example. Zach's body is still here, and it's buried, and it's in the grave. But the soul of Zach, or the Zach that I knew and that many others knew, that is with Jesus in heaven. So I know many times we attach somebody to the physical body here on earth. And again, I'm not trying to have a psychology lesson here, but that's not who we are. Who we are is our soul. Who we are is not our physical body. It's not the physical things that we do. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So in the long run, does it matter? No, but it's something that I wanted to share with you. So when we say that someone goes to heaven, don't think that their body goes to heaven with them. It says in the rapture that we will get our new heavenly bodies, and those that are dead in Christ will rise first. They will get their heavenly bodies. Their soul and their body will come back together again. We'll get new glorified bodies. Praise the Lord. We're not taking the current body we have with us into heaven. There have been many people that have claimed to have died and gone to heaven. I don't believe that this is true based off what Hebrews 9:27 tells us. I believe that people may have had a religious experience and that medically they may have been physically dead, but that their spirit had a spiritual encounter, if that makes any sense. Because I don't believe that you actually died and went to heaven, because it says you die once, just as man is appointed to die once, which means your spirit dies as well. Which is, again, normally what happens when someone passes away. So I wanted to make that clear. I don't know why. It was one of those that God had put it on my heart to say. I hope that didn't confuse you anymore. So when Jesus said that he was asleep, I believe he was saying that his spirit, the spirit of Lazarus, is asleep. The physical body is dead, but the spirit of Lazarus is asleep. And Jesus woke up the spirit, which also in turn woke up the body as well. But don't think that, you know, people say, and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Yes, he did. However, like I said, if Lazarus was dead both spiritually and physically, then I think it takes away from what Jesus did on the cross, because then you could sit there and say, well, it had already happened, so how is that a miracle? And that's why I would argue that Jesus did die both spiritually and physically, and then both of them came back to life again, if that makes sense. So that's why it's unique. And of course, Jesus died for our sins, whereas Lazarus did not. But either way, hopefully I explained that in a way that did not confuse you even more. And so I'm going to continue on now with the next set of verses, which is going to be 17 through 27. This section is called, I am the resurrection and the life, and you'll see why. John 11:17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So now let's look at those set of verses. Here it is. Jesus arrives on the scene. He has this conversation with Martha. And Jesus reminds us that if we have faith and believe in him, we will live forever. And what he's talking about is what I just mentioned. Our souls will live forever. Who we are will live forever, not our physical earthly body. I want to make that clear. That's not who we are. Who we are is the core of what we believe and who we believe in and what we believe. And that's why it is important that I say, you are what you believe. And I think that holds very true because those are the things that are near and dear to you. This set of verses talks about how we, our souls will live forever for those of us who know Christ. So what I get from this is never waste a moment. Jesus knew this was going to be a teaching moment for some. And I love how Jesus reminds us of who he is throughout the gospel. It's important for us because the devil tries to make us believe Jesus isn't as powerful as he actually is. But Jesus used this as a teaching moment. And that's why I was so blessed that the pastor who ended up doing my friend Zach's service shared the gospel as well. And I've been a part of several funerals. And each one that I've been in, I've been fortunate enough that I've heard the pastor talk about the gospel. And that's so important. I don't think you should do a funeral without having the gospel message. Because even though it may seem hard for some to understand, God can use death as a mighty way to get somebody to come to know him. And again, it's not for us to question it. It's not to say, well, that doesn't sound bright, or that's not something that I would do. Well, it doesn't matter what we would do. It matters what God will do or what God does in our lives. And he can use anything that he wants. He can use anybody that he wants to bring himself glory. So that's what those set of verses tells us. But I love that where Jesus said, of course, as many of us have heard before, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And our mortal bodies and our mortal minds do not understand the concept of eternity. Oh, we can say, well, you know, it means forever, but we don't actually understand, I don't think, what that means. We will be with Christ. We will be with those that we love, with those who know him forever and ever and ever. There will be no time. God had to give us something that the human mind would be able to understand, and that's why he gave us this concept of time. There is no time. God is outside of time. He does not operate on our clock. He does not have a watch, and he does not sit up there and say, today is whatever, whatever at this time. He's outside of time because we can't contain God. You cannot contain his power. You cannot contain him. So he is outside of time. But I also think that it is important in this set of verses that Martha said, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And that's something that I think is very important as well, because I don't think that Martha meant this in a disrespectful way, saying, you know, I'm glad you finally showed up. Now you get here. But if you had been here, he would have still been alive. I think it's a natural human emotion, and I think it's a natural thing to say, is that, where were you when this happened? Not in a disrespectful way, but you may have asked the same thing as God, where are you at? Or where are you? Or maybe you think that he's left you in the time of when someone close to you has died. I guarantee you he has not. But it's that second part of what she said that I think is so important, that I know whatever God asks, whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She knew the relationship that Jesus had with God. And I think at this point, too, she's also saying that, Lord, whatever your will may be, your will be done. And that, too, is important. Because God's will is what's going to happen. And God's will and God's word line up exactly according to plan. And you may say, well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Then read the word. Because the word of God is the will of God. And again, I think we look back on a lot of times, I know I have in my life, where we look back and say, God, wow, that was an amazing thing that you did. I'm glad you didn't answer my prayer this way. I'm glad that you didn't allow this to happen this way. Because, see, he can see the whole picture. We only get a little glimpse of what's going on. And sometimes we don't even get a glimpse. Sometimes it just hits us. but we can know that he's the one that can see the whole picture. So we have to trust him, and we have to know that it is part of the bigger picture. Like I said, how do you explain it to a non-believer? I don't know that you can. I don't know that a non-believer can understand this, can understand how God could do something like this. That I know that there are some people that would say, you know, I've lost a loved one. I've lost someone that was close to me. And so that's why I have a hard time believing in God Almighty, because why would a God who loves me do something like that? And it's one of those things where I'll keep saying it over and over. His ways are not our ways. I can't explain it. I don't know. But I know that there is a reason for everything. I mean, just like it breaks my heart every time I hear that a child is abused or brought into an abusive situation. Why would God allow that to happen to that child? I don't know, but there is a reason for everything. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens on accident. Everything is done to absolute precision. And like I said, we may never know what some of these reasons are this side of heaven. And I'm okay with that. And it's something that you have to come to grips with. And I could tell you that, and I told people this too, that if I could get through the service for my grandma, I think I can get through just about anything. Because that was really one of the tests of my faith. And without faith, I could not get through losing Zach. I just don't think I could. You know, your best friend that you can talk about anything with, that's there for you, that you love to hang out with, and you never think of them being gone. But it's faith that gets you through that moment. I can't stress that enough. There is so much power in faith. And not faith in humans, of course, faith in God Almighty. Because we are never promised tomorrow, and you have to live every day like it's your last. Make an impact for the kingdom of Christ. And it's hard to do that some days. And I can even tell you, I don't do it every day. I want to, but I'm also human as well, and God understands that. But I want to make an impact in people's lives to where they say, I knew that he knew Christ, and there's something different about him, and that they can see Christ in me. And that's why I believe that when people say that you don't know what somebody else's walk is, or you don't know if somebody else is saved, and that's nonsense, because if you can't tell that there's something different, then you have no witness. People have to see how you react to certain situations, what you say about certain things. And again, are we going to be perfect? No. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We screw up every single day. I mean, you almost want to say all day, every day I screw up, and that's why we need Jesus. And it is so true. We need Jesus every day. And every second of our lives. But I want people to be able to look at me and say, he had a relationship with Christ. He had something different. He had something special. I want people to ask me, how do you get through losing your best friend of 23 years? How can you still have that spirit about you and still tell others about Christ? Because I know he loves me and that it's all part of his plan. It's my faith. That's why I can get through it. And you can have that faith, too, if you're going through something and you've been through a situation like this recently. Wow. This may be one of the more powerful episodes that I have done, and I hope it is really speaking to you today. I am getting close to the 20-minute mark, so I'm going to continue this on the next part of this episode. We're almost done with this story of Jesus and Lazarus, and maybe you've never heard this story before. I encourage you to go back and reread it on your own time. Again, you can find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. And I'm going to continue with that story. And then later on in this episode, I will also be sharing some verses with you about grief, but also about the importance of faith. So I hope you will stay tuned. This is Season 3, Episode 1, which I have entitled, Grief Won't Last Forever. I'm Travis Sullivan. And remember, Jesus is King, Maranatha, and God bless until next time.